B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord.
And it was that douchebag across the street. That's that fat swab. Meat lady. I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are broadcasting from different locations around the area. And then, and tagging the five sector when we get a chance.
I went over to Star Market, minding my own business. She's tagging the cops in the five sector.
That's right.
I was sent a map of all the sectors of Brookline, and I've seen which ones, like where exactly the five sector is. And there's some heat in the five sector right now. That is where the Star Market is, and that's kind of the center of all the Brookline chaos, isn't it, Fred?
Well, I mean, yes. I used to live apparently in the five sector, so apparently the five sector is the place where everything goes down. It's the Baghdad of Brookline. It's where people go to. The Star Market there is apparently. Berlin Wall, you can't, that's where the two sections of the five sector get separated. So
is that where the Brookline videotaping of each other gang show up? They just stand in a parking lot and videotape each other with their camera phones?
Yeah, of course.
And each one follows the other one. You just follow each other around and then say you're going to call the police just walking around the parking lot. It's kind of a dance that they do. It's like Beat It. It's like the Beat It video.
Yeah, I mean, there are dance-offs. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean,
sure.
They do solve their differences often through dance.
Of course.
But that is the five sector where I used to live. That is on Tappan Street in Beacon. Is the epicenter of the area, and that's where I lived for over a year when we first moved here, and where I would never live again. Ever in a million years would I live there again.
Did you ever see the meat lady?
Meat lady.
Probably. When we had another dog and I used to have to pull socks out of its anus because it ate my socks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's always a gross proposition when you have to pull it out thread by thread. I've known people who have done that. It's just not
fun. The dog loved eating my socks, and My wife had adopted this dog because she was losing her mind, so she adopted this dog on online, and they said it was going to be a certain size, and then we got the dog. It was 10 times the size of what they said it was going to be, and it had a penchant for eating socks, so the socks did not come out cleanly. One was forced to remove them manually from the dog's anus. Oof. So that was not fun. I have to say that. But that was very Star Market is where I did that many, many times, was at Star Market. So I imagine that I was tagged in the five sector several times due to that.
What? Sure. I mean, they might have all your information. You don't even
I didn't do anything. She was tagged in the five sector.
Like, that's a weird phenomenon that is happening more than I think we all know. And that's just people, like, videotaping, like, waiting for people to commit crimes and just videotaping them. Did you hear that weird story about there was a guy who was just filming the ramp at Mass General? Like, people who were going in and out of Mass General and filming them. And finally, at some point, they're like, the security was like, what are you doing? Like, this is a hospital. It's probably the last place people want to get filmed coming right in and out of. It's like a hospital. So they had to get in this guy's face. But there's, like, this weird, I don't know, like, vigilante rush that these people get, that one day they're going to be the one that, you know, cracks the code. If you're one of these, like, police departments, like Brookline or anywhere else, how many cell phone videos do you think that you get sent that are just garbage? Like, people doing nothing.
Oh, I would say 99% of the things that you get
definitely
are garbage.
Well, it's like, I mean, you've heard that on some of these calls, like people like filming a guy who was blowing leaves across the street, like not even in their own house. Like, why would you do that? Like, what would lead you to just say, you know, oh yeah, I've videotaped this guy before when he's not even on your property? I didn't realize it was such a thing, and all these stories are coming out, and for some reason that Mass General one just made me go, all right, well, everyone, maybe cell phones with cameras in them might not have been, maybe they're not being used the way that I think that we all intended to use them, and that was to take stupid videos of our kids doing stuff like eating.
Yeah.
So,
You know, there is the phenomenon, too, as soon as, like, real crime goes down, everyone just pulls out their cameras and is bystanders.
Oh, sure, and yells World Star, and so they can get it on the internet.
Yeah.
So that's the best, is when there's an actual, like, somebody in, like, a real fight or there's danger. And so, as you said, like, a crime, is a video will go out, and, like, how many times do you hear somebody go, World Star, we're going to get on the internet, World Star.
Yeah, you're just sitting there watching, you're a bystander. I told you when I was in Milwaukee, there was a guy passed out in the middle of the road. We got up early, and we're doing something. And my first instinct was to get my phone, and then I realized, well, that would be terrible. So I had my friend touch him. I wasn't going to touch the guy, but I had my friend do it, and he got him right there on the he got him on the side of the road where he slept contently.
Wow.
And yeah, well, you know, some of us are heroes, Rich. Everyday heroes.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you got to do that. Well, yesterday, not a big day, but I guess today or tomorrow, Governor Baker is going to reopen the golf courses. There has been no confirmation of that.
Yay!
Yeah, I know, but nonetheless, that's going to happen. So you get one thing.
Yeah. Just in time for snow tomorrow night. Be great.
Yeah.
There's
snow's coming.
Snow?
Yeah.
Snow.
Yeah. Snow's coming.
Yep.
Well, I'm not going to be. Or tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Today's Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, I won't be here.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'll be long gone, baby.
Snow tomorrow night. Yep.
I'm fleeing. I'm fleeing.
That's
I'm
right.
Fleeing.
Yes.
I'm fleeing in a state of panic.
Yep.
I'm fleeing the state.
I understand.
Do you know how pissed Shaughnessy was yesterday when Governor Baker did not announce it? Because he had the scoop. He came out with it.
Yeah.
And Shaughnessy says, later on today, Governor Baker is going to announce this. And then the first thing Governor Baker had to say when he got up to the microphone was that there were 208 new deaths yesterday, the highest single day increase since late April. And I think that he probably thought maybe right after that isn't the best time to announce that we're opening the golf courses back up.
I would imagine. He's going to let it rest a couple of days.
I think he was just like, all right, I know I'm just going to scrap page two of this right here and possibly just wait a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to, but you know what? It's baby steps. it's baby steps. You know, you open up the golf courses, and next thing you know, I don't know.
Anarchy.
It's anarchy. That's right. You open the golf courses, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be anarchy. But there is workers have been allowed on courses in Massachusetts, but not golfers. So there are many workers working on there. So if you are I have a feeling a lot of people are going to pick up the game if that is an activity that you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to play basketball or tennis.
Yeah.
So if you're allowed to play golf, I'm not sure about the tennis one either, but nonetheless, that is the rule.
I just think it's because the courts are closed right now. Like a lot of parks have their courts closed. I don't know about like private clubs and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure about that. That's a good question. Haven't been quite following the golf. I know that there's like, you know, I know there's obviously no professional tennis being played, but I don't know about the rest of it. I'm not quite sure.
No, you're not allowed to play tennis. I mean, people are. I mean, if you go to any park around here, people are playing tennis, but you're not supposed to be. I don't understand quite why that is happening either, but I mean, if you're playing a singles match, I mean, talk about social distancing. I mean, you are far away from one another until the end where you are forced to shake hands.
Yep.
Or else you're not being proper. But no, I don't think private clubs are open. I don't think they've been open.
Did you hear, you know, Paul Vrabel, who we've had in studio before, who is the lacrosse, the king of, he's like the Michael Jordan of lacrosse, we were told. And obviously this is true because he Bill smelled. Belichick apparently is in, no, that's a different guy.
Oh, that was a different guy.
No, this is a guy a couple years ago we had in studio. And he was with the Cannons, but he's like a legit superstar in the lacrosse world, and he started this thing called the Professional Lacrosse League, and all of these fringe leagues right now are doing everything they can to kind of get noticed. So they announced yesterday that the PLL Professional Lacrosse League Championship Series is going to start. As a matter of fact, it's a fully quarantined fanless tournament, and NBC Sports is going to be airing it.
Wow.
So they're looking to get their in right now, and I don't know how much they're, you know, getting paid for all of that, but Mr. Vrabel stepping up and trying to make a name for the league, sounds like.
Yeah, I'd imagine that it's on the arm. Just you're trying to make a little name. I'm guessing that doesn't cost NBC very much money. All right, Rich, what is coming up? What will we just discuss?
Well, let's talk about some actual guidelines came out yesterday. NFL and NBA about opening back up facilities. So maybe that is a sign of things to come.
All right, let's discover that in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich,
98.5
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tre Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, Fred,
much. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Touch and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub. Let's start off with line one. Manny, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
Fred, I would like to congratulate you on some really great radio yesterday. I mean, that burp you let out during one of the segments, I don't remember exactly what time it was, but, I mean, that was epic. It was both disgusting and thoroughly enjoyable at the same time. I drive for a living. I had people in my car, and I got 30 seconds of laughter out of that. So I appreciate that.
But it was
unintentional, but, man, it was just beautiful. Talk about the heat coming out of Brookline. Man, the heat was coming out of your house yesterday. I'm glad that didn't come out the other end. But, yeah, keep up the good work. Burping on the radio. It's great. Have a great day.
It shows that you're a bad boy, but we do have these headsets on. And I'm certainly not screwing around with the controls on this thing because I'm afraid, desperately afraid that I'm going to break it. So if a burp has to come, a burp has to come. I'm not screwing around with the buttons. So, because, again, I'll just ruin it, and then we'll not be able to broadcast remotely, which is my my fear. Because I know as soon as I get to Tennessee, this thing's not going to work.
There's
That's
a,
just the way my life is.
I saw, like, people start tweeting about your burp, like, and you're, like around 6 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, well, Felger and Maz probably mentioned it. So, you know, later on, we'll actually play what they had to say. It was very funny. But is it weird that... Like, I heard it, and it's, like, pretty massive, but is it weird that, like, when it happened live, it didn't even occur to me? like it's
I know.
Almost,
you just kind of walk by it. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like while we were doing the show, yeah. It didn't even really occur to me that it happened. Maybe no, we're just all kind of used to us making weird noises and stuff on the air. And,
yeah, because, yeah, you've been in radio. There was a long time in radio where people burped on the air. I mean, that just was what it was. There's nothing I can do about it. I don't have a button. If there's a button to turn off this mic, I ain't touching it.
There is. It's under the input one. You just press that and it turns off your mic.
I'm not touching that.
It doesn't mess up anything, I promise. It just turns your mic off.
It's playing with fire.
I hear you, Fred. Seriously. I got this equipment in my house. I set it up. I FaceTime with Dennis, one of the engineers, and I have not touched it since. There's no way I'm changing anything on this thing.
Oh, I ride that thing like I'm the keyboard of Bon Jovi. I just sit here and just like press that, like, you know, so I don't smack or do whatever. I'm pressing that all the time. So I don't have the smacks.
Uh-uh.
I won't touch it. Won't touch it. That is beyond my pay grade. I will not touch that thing.
We'll play some of that later. It was pretty funny. Because, as I said, that was the shocking thing.
Maz talked about it?
Yeah. Like, they did it in the final word. And to be honest, it had me laughing out loud. And what was just weird is that when it happened, nobody called us out while we were doing it. I didn't even think about it. And then I hear it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that's, you know, isolated. It sure seems that way. But, you know, welcome to our show. We make weird noises.
No. What are you going to do?
That way. That's right. What are you going to do? Well, there had been whispers that despite the NFL keeping its game face, it has behind the scenes been making contingency plans for what could possibly happen if the virus is still a problem come fall. And now, the ponytailed one, John Clayton, has confirmed, at least according to his reports, a plan that all but says the NFL is ready to cancel the first four games of the season if it has to. According to Clayton, the NFL schedule will indeed be NFC versus AFC for the first 4 weeks of the season. So for the Patriots, that means right out of the gate, you're going to get the Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals, and the 49ers in some sort of order. Now,
oh man,
not the easiest way to start your season, but entertaining.
I was just going to say, Jared Stidham, go get him. Jesus.
Trial by fire. God. I like it. But you know what? The games are at least going to be entertaining. Those will be fun games to watch.
If they play them those first 4 weeks, that is going to be brutal for him. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But if it says anything, it says that they realize that might be something that they're going to have to do is move the opening date back to the middle of October and sacrifice those games that really ultimately don't mean a ton. So, and I know that we had seen fake schedule releases, and this is once again John Clayton who is reporting this. Tonight we might watch
Where
the 3-hour fiasco.
Now?
It's like a radio station in somewhere in California,
Seattle.
Okay, I knew it was Seattle. West Coast. Yep. Yeah, so he's out there, and I guess he got a hold of somebody's schedule and confirmed it, and apparently he's had confirmation. Who knows? As I said, it could all be wrong tonight, but that was an interesting report that came out. And yesterday, the NFL laid out protocols for the gradual reopening of team facilities, which have been closed since March. So the league, they instructed teams, basically, you be ready by May 15th with these new protocols, just in case. Now, at no point in his memo did Roger Goodell mention a previous NFL policy that said no facilities could open until all 32 facilities are eligible to do so. That seemed to be thrown into the garbage. But according to Mr. Clown Nose, the first group of employees allowed back into the facilities would include no more than 50% of non-player staff and a total of upwards of 75 people per day. Now, the only players permitted to return right now would be those who are already rehabilitating injuries prior to the closures of their facility. So the league right now, they're working with the Players Association to try to figure out what the second phase would be that allows like most of the players to return. It's not clear whether they would be allowed to practice on a field, but right now, here's some of the requirements that the teams have to abide by to open up. They have to get consent first from their local government. They have to get a ton of cleaning and other supplies, and it's a huge laundry list of it. They have to create an infection response team that includes doctors and team athletic trainers. So maybe Guerrero's gone now, but maybe he would have been one of the guys. And maybe Tampa Bay, they're going to be using him. Designate an infection control officer, or ICO, if you want to be cool, to the first point of contact for any employee who displays coronavirus symptoms. You got to provide safety and hygiene training to all the employees who are going to return to the facility. And on top of that, face coverings and physical distancing of at least 6 feet will be required for all employees. Gloves, highly recommended. Doesn't mean they're required, according to the memo. There's also no mention in the memo about any testing, something that many experts have been saying is essential for team sports to resume competition, but that hasn't been thrown in there. Now, all of this would seem to be a pretty good indicator that the season is all systems go, right? Well, not so fast, because there's one team that almost certainly will not be hosting any home games in 2020, and that team would be the Chicago Bears. And to that, Mitch Trubisky secretly high-fives himself and says, "Woo!" Well, the state of Illinois, they've released its guidelines yesterday for a phased reopening. And the final phase, which is labeled Phase 5 Illinois Restored, says the economy will, quote, fully reopen only after a vaccine or highly effective treatment becomes available. Phase 4 states that gatherings of only 50 people or fewer will be allowed until Phase 5 is implemented. So since most health experts agree that a vaccine's not going to be available until probably sometime next year, and at the very earliest, there's been talk about September there being something, but that would be used just in emergency cases. I mean, it's not like they're going to have enough for everyone, especially NFL players, come September. So we're thinking next year sometime. That would make it highly unlikely that Illinois would approve of any kind of mass gatherings at any point during the upcoming NFL season. And also, just a game between two different teams would surely have more than 50 people, so it would not meet that requirement. We know that the NFL is hoping to play games without fans, but this seems inevitable. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some teams like that. And we heard about this with, and John, I think you might have mentioned the story. We heard about some of this with baseball before, is that if for some reason during the season one of the cities becomes a hot spot and they've got to do another stay in shelter order, then the team might just move and play their games in a different state.
In Florida.
If they have to do so.
At their spring training
Florida,
facility,
Arizona,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But for someone like the Chicago Bears, yeah, you know, you got to think they would just have to play it like, I don't know, some college somewhere or, you know, some stadium like that in order to do it. I don't know. But that seems like a little bit of a problem if they're trying to open up fully. So,
if every other team is playing and they're not, there's going to be an exceptional amount of political pressure. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, they could play, but it just wouldn't be at Soldier's Field.
Yeah, we'll see about that. There's going to be a tremendous amount of political pressure going on there. And if the guy wants to get reelected at any time soon, he'll have to think very, very hard about if he's going to keep those guidelines for professional football. Because, again, people enjoy it, and if everyone else is playing and then they're not, it's going to not reflect well on him. So we'll see. We'll see how much he sticks to his guns.
How far away is Northwestern from there?
I have no idea.
Northwestern is right there.
Yeah, I mean, they can just move it there.
No, it's the same state. It's Illinois, John.
Oh, I thought these guidelines were just for Chicago. I'm sorry.
No. It's an Illinois thing. No, it's not the mayor. It's the governor saying this.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, they probably have to go, you know, Fred, over to your area or something like that. I don't know, maybe Indiana or who knows.
They go right over there to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The two teams. Why not? The Lions aren't doing nothing.
Sure, the Lions probably be happy. Finally, we're going to sell some tickets.
That's right. They could just play the Bears and the Lions. It will be a battle of champs.
Who's the starting quarterback for the Bears this year? Do we know who it's going to be?
Is it Foles? Did they?
Well, I know Foles is there, but have they basically like named him the starter? I guess
They didn't pick up the fifth year option on Trubisky.
Right.
So he's still there. He's still there, but they traded for Foles to take over until he leaves, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a training camp battle, so you can see the great Nick Foles taking over. So that's going to be an
Super Bowl
exciting team.
Champion Nick Foles to you, Fred.
That's right.
I was given crap when I said that Nick Foles would win a Super Bowl before Cam Newton, and I was right.
Okay.
It's the best take I've ever had. Somebody roll tape on. I wish somebody would have rolled tape on it. Our listeners remember everything. They'll know that I was right when everyone was wrong.
That's right. Nick Foles. Nick Foles was going to win a championship before Dan Marino. That was another take that was going around like crazy. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, well, we'll get to some of the NBA stuff that they're also looking to try to move things forward. And on top of that, Urban Meyer and a bunch of other experts are speaking out on Jared Stidham. And if you're a Patriots fan, you might like what they have to say.
All right. We will hear all about that. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up?
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it's not just the NFL. It seems that the NBA also appears ready to reopen its practice facilities in states that have relaxed stay-at-home guidelines. The league has informed teams that it will do so tomorrow, as early as tomorrow, pending new developments. Now, here's some of the guidelines that have been sent out. Lifting weights with a spotter, prohibited if it forces the player to be within 12 feet of a staffer.
Well, okay. Who's going to yell then when I'm lifting my load?
I'm reading this rule, and okay. Lifting weights with a spotter is prohibitive and forces the player to be within 12 feet of a staffer. So you can be, like, on top of the guy lifting the weights as long as there's just, like, the guy who cleans the bathrooms is 12 feet away. Is that what they're saying there?
No, they're saying that everyone has to be 12 feet away, I would imagine.
Okay.
You can't have a spotter.
But how do you have a spotter if you're 12 feet away?
I thought it was that you can't have a spotter, right?
It says lifting weights with a spotter will be prohibited if it forces the player to be within 12 feet of a staffer.
Well, unless they're Elastic Man, I don't think that you can get a sponsor.
That is really weirdly worded. Yeah. I don't know what that could mean.
You only are allowed one spotter and then everyone else has to stay 12 feet away, maybe?
I guess.
No, you're not allowed a spotter unless they're 12 feet away.
So,
you would be in a situation where you would have to have, like, Plastic Man that could reach out 12 feet away.
No, or maxing, like, out.
Some sort of, like, Rube Goldberg contraption, you know, to help lift it up. You know, some huge wedge, something that looks like, I don't know, the thing that used to press whale oil back in the day. Just this huge thing. I don't know how you do this. But no more than four players would be permitted at a facility at any one time. That's another rule they've got there. No head or assistant coaches could participate. Group activity remains prohibited, including practices or scrimmages. Players remain prohibited from using non-team facilities such as public health clubs, fitness centers, or gyms as well. And the players in team facilities must wear face masks at all time, except during physical activity, which would be what they're doing almost the entire time.
Well, the question is, though, how much of an advantage does that give certain teams? Like Portland, Cleveland, and Denver apparently are going to start tomorrow. Orlando and Miami are going to start Monday. And I was reading, Shams reported yesterday that I think the Lakers are going to start the 16th. That's what they're targeting. The Celtics, as it stands right now, can go to the facility no earlier than the 18th of May.
So you can basically do shoot around. That's what it sounds like. It says no group activity. You can't do that. So you can just go and practice shooting. You can't scrimmage. There can be no actual written out practices, so you're there to work out on your own and shoot. Doesn't that sound like that's like the only two things you can really do?
Yeah, it does. It does. You're right. I'm just wondering if the 2-week head start means anything to these athletes.
Well, listen, if you're Jason Tatum and you apparently haven't shot a basketball in 2 months, I know he got that one from Danny Ainge in the mail, then, you know, listen, any help's good help. Just getting some sort of reps. It all seems weird. And Mark Cuban, by the way, has come out and said he doesn't think this is worth it.
What is the Maverick stance on opening the facility on Friday?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The problem, obviously, is because we can't test people
then we can't assure anybody's safety, whether they're basketball players or anybody else. And even though we can try to take all different types of precautions, it's just not worth it, particularly when our guys are staying in shape and they're going outside and shooting on outdoor hoops and, you know, working out in various ways. So I just don't think the risk is worth the reward.
Wow, Mark Cuban, man of the people, protecting his guys.
Yeah,
it seems pretty arbitrary, the rules that they're putting into place. I mean, if you're going to open up the facilities, I would open up the facilities. It seems like a lot of pain in the ass.
This seems like people caving into pressure but not having any kind of real sense on making it happen, like, for real. Like, this is like one of those things like, dude, we don't want people to get sick, and we know that the numbers are saying that there's a lot of sick people out there. But because people are angry, we're going to say we're opening it up. But then you look at what they're actually doing, and you can't do anything once you get there. So they're trying to – it sounds like they're trying to be everything to everyone. At least the Cuban's making a stance on this going, no, we're not going to put up this air that something's actually getting done, and I'm not going to risk it because this doesn't quite seem like the right time to do it. So, I mean, Mark Cuban obviously has a lot of sway.
He might be running for president, so – you know, he's got to keep you've heard that he's not dismissed running for president. Mm-hmm. So maybe these are part of the factor.
That could be it. Maybe that is the case. Well, somebody who will not be running for president, unless you want somebody who never closes their mouth, Eli Manning had this to say about Tom Brady running, not for president, but running away from New England. And here's what he had to say about his new gig in Tampa Bay.
He can't be doing everything he wants to be doing with the team and getting ready. Obviously, they have some playmakers at receiver there, so I don't think, you know, when you got talented receivers, it makes it a little bit easier to get on the same page with them and get on time because they're getting open and you can, you know, there's some big targets where you can throw them open. But it'll be interesting to just how it all plays out and how quickly he can just adjust.
Now grab by y'all every time a dangle dog crusty start yapping at y'all 24 hours a day, and nobody answered. You call
Boom Hour. I don't know how he can speak from experience about any of that. He's been there with the Giants for
to have a lot to say. I mean, that was some cutting edge stuff that he was doing right there.
I don't think he's really ever said anything of any kind of interest or value. I mean,
he said that there was that it was going to be he can't practice, but he has a lot of weapons. So there you go. That we can all now sleep tight. That he is done just that.
Well, if you're sitting here as a Patriots fan, you're going, I have no idea what the hell we're going to get from Jared Stidham. I mean, one thing you can say is that the Patriots have done everything to show this guy that they have faith in him. There hasn't been a peep when it comes to other quarterbacks, not only with the draft, but also, you know, there were all these reports that came out that they didn't even have any sort of interest in Andy Dalton, despite some reports to the contrary. I'm sure that's something that would probably be fairly strategic to slip out there, even if it wasn't true, if you were the Patriots. But nonetheless, this is a situation where there's no talk of Cam Newton. There seems to be nothing. So Stidham seems to be the guy. Urban Meyer also seems to believe that Stidham is the guy.
If I recall, you recruited Jarrett Stidham, did you not?
We did. He's out of Stevensville, Texas, one of the best high school programs in America. We didn't get real far with him. I can't recall exactly what happened, but I remember watching his high school film. Well, very high on him. He started off at Baylor and went to Auburn. You know, the one thing, the common denominator of every great quarterback, he's on a great team. The great quarterbacks who go to bad teams also become bad quarterbacks. And it's hard for me at times to understand the, you know, the media and often the fans. They have a bad team, so it's the quarterback's fault. And you look around, and it happened at Alex Smith his first year, or first few years in New England, or at San Francisco. So I think Jared Stidham, he put him with Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniel, that system. I think get ready for, you know, I can't say he's going to be the next Tom Brady, but get ready. I'm sure he'll have a good. He did it with Matt Castle. I mean, they're gonna make that quarterback a good player.
Okay, so there he not only insulted Matt Castle.
That's a shot and a half at Matt Castle. He sucked. Look how well he did. My God. Of course Stidham's going to be good.
Yeah, he kind of half said Garoppolo. So, I mean, you look at the kid's tape. And if he was so great, why'd he go to Baylor? He's a Texas kid, but he went
to
Baylor.
Didn't RG3 go to Baylor? Wasn't
They had the high powered offense.
Yeah,
and RG3 was lighting it up.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to Baylor. that doesn't seem like the place that I want to go. But
oh, Waco's a party town. when there's not horrible things happening in the mid-90s. Right. But.
I mean, West Texas, I know. I mean, who can keep away? All right, Rich, we'll break, and then when we come back, what will we talk about?
Jay Glazer craps all over Ben Roethlisberger, and it's pretty funny, to be honest.
All right, so we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, as many in the New York media rejoiced at the news that Tom Brady was indeed leaving the Patriots, one person who is not rejoicing, because he's got his eyes on the prize, somebody takes his job seriously, Fred, you know who that would be? Somebody who takes the field like a gladiator every Sunday for that where's green, proud, gets out there. He's not seeing ghosts. You know what he's doing? He's building himself a winning program. That'd be Mr. Sammy D. He had this to
Sammy
say.
Sammy D knows what's up.
Mm-hmm, he had this to say. Sam Darnold on whether or not he felt happy when Tom Brady left his division.
With a great player like Tom Brady, you know, obviously leaving, it's a big deal. It's headlines. You know, for us, every single game in the NFL is a tough one. And I think any player can attest to that. So we're not going to take anyone more lightly just because, you know, even though, you know, one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player of all time, left the organization, we're not going to take him any more lightly.
Look at Sammy D saying all the right things.
I mean, that's a class act. That's a kid who's been there before.
Sounds like that's Brady. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is Brady.
He's good looking as Brady as well. I mean, he's got all the things.
I mean, you don't get mono because you're ugly.
That's a good point. There you go. People want to kiss you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get mono because the ladies can't get enough. So, I mean, there's the 22. He's only 22. There's the 22-year-old Sammy D telling the people, you know, poised, calm, collected, ready for a big breakout year. That's what they got going on.
I do like him, and part of me like almost wants him to, you know, have a pretty good season just because, you know, there were people. Remember when? I mean, obviously we had some fun with the whole boogeyman thing and Kyle Van Noy, but you know when he was mic'd up and on television, they voiced him saying, "I'm seeing ghosts out there." I mean, there were people who were declaring him like he'll never recover from this. Like this is the kind of career moment where everyone's going to think of him as the guy who just can't get out of his own head and is, you know ducks and ends the play before you need to. Is he's Mr. Seeing Ghost guy? So there's part of you that kind of felt bad for him at the time and roots for him a little bit. So, and Sammy D saying all the right things. Got no problem with that.
Yeah, you get the D out there. He's all right. Don't worry about him.
The D.
He's gonna say the right thing.
No problem.
Don't worry about the D.
No problem with Sam Darnold. None whatsoever.
No way, baby. Who can?
That's right.
I mean, he's perfection. He's a combination of Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, and Tom Brady. I mean, that's what you got there with the D. Don't worry. They got a new offensive line. He's going to have all day to throw. Come on. AFC East, here we go.
Well, Jay Glazer did a Q&A with The Athletic, and after he was done like crushing weights, he was asked a couple of questions. The first one was about Jared Stidham. He said, "Do you think Jared Stidham is the quarterback of the future in New England?" He said, "I do, yes. They're certainly giving every indication that they want him to be. I know a lot of teams liked him when he was coming out of the draft. Every indication coming out of New England is how much they love this guy and how they were willing to go with him. Whether they still need to bring in someone to compete with him remains to be seen." He said there's one major factor out there in Cam Newton, but they do like Stidham an awful lot. I think they're going to give him every shot with this. By the way, just a quick aside, I had forgotten about this, but do you remember a while back when had his many tours, you know, his courting, do you remember when Josh McDaniels was talking to the Panthers? That was one of the teams. I guess that he had a big problem with Cam Newton. Like, he did not want to work with Cam Newton at the time. So I wonder if, you know, that's more evidence that they would not want to get him there. You know what I mean?
So that was his excuse for that job.
That could have been Fred. That could have been one of the many excuses. Yes.
Yeah, that he was too afraid to take. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, good.
He didn't like Andrew Luck either. I had a weird feeling about Andrew Luck.
Yeah, it was. He didn't like Andrew Luck. He knew he was going to retire. Yeah. You know, he didn't want to live in Indianapolis. I mean, he got cold feet at the last minute. Yeah.
But then Jay Glazer actually said something kind of funny. Somebody in the mailbag said, "I feel like the Steelers are a real sleeper team this year." He said their defense was – this is a writer or a person in the mailbag. He says their defense was really solid last year, feels loaded. The offense suffered hard because of Ben's injury. But assuming he's back to even 85% plus fitness – show they could be in a very competitive position. And he ends it with a question mark, even though it sounds like a statement. And to that, Jay Glazer said, first of all, let's not put the words fitness and Ben Roethlisberger together. They are allergic to each other. There is no fitness in Ben Roethlisberger. His idea of a great off-season workout program is doing one yoga session, playing golf, and drinking some beer. However, yes, what Mike Tomlin and Roethlisberger have done there has been incredible. Tomlin has never had a losing season with the Steelers. I want fans of other cities to realize that. He's never had a losing season since he's been with Pittsburgh. Despite injuries, and they are obviously not the most aggressive team when it comes to free agency, having Le'Veon Bell holding out and the Antonio Brown situation, it's incredible what they've done. He's changed coordinators, gone through offensive coaches, defensive coordinators, but the dude has never had a losing season. Don't sleep on them ever, obviously, despite the very out of shape Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, you have to envy because he is not afraid to just go like, "I'm fat," and not and not football fat, fat. Like if you saw Ben Roethlisberger, you go like, "That is a tall fat man."
Yeah,
yeah.
It's worked for him. The thing is, you could say about him is that when he's healthy, he's been great. But
look at him at the draft when he was drafted, and then look at him now, and it's startling. What the difference that's, and he's got the fat guy beard to cover everything up.
You're right. How much do you think he weighs? Like when he was in shape. When he was in shape, how much do you think he weighs?
Like, in shape, like
240 pounds.
Are you saying 2 years ago before he was injured? Is that the in shape status you're using?
Yeah, fine. All right, fine.
280.
Right now, 280? I'd say 300.
See, I say 280 when he was in shape.
Okay, he's 320.
No.
If he's 280 in shape, he's 320 now.
No, when he was in shape, he was probably 240.
And then, he's 6'5", 6'6", something like that?
Yeah, I think he might even be taller than – I think he's
6'6". Enormous. He is enormous.
Yeah, and he was a big guy anyway. So, but now,
not getting any younger either.
Yeah, I'm guessing 300 pounds at this point.
Yeah, he's 38 now? Yeah, no, that weight isn't melting off him. No.
No, especially when you don't try.
Yes.
Yeah, especially when you have no desire to lose that weight. Yes, that is not a good thing.
And finally, there's been all this talk about finishing the NBA season, and there's been discussions about Disney and, of course, the original one, which seems most likely if they end up doing it in one city, it's probably going to be Las Vegas. We've talked about the problems that a place like Disney would have. You know, Disney's, despite Florida, being almost open, like the businesses are running, Disney's got no plans of opening it there right now. Like they're holding out until it is completely safe because they don't want to be known. Their brand is squeaky clean as having anyone die there and going to Celebration Hospital afterwards. However, Charles Barkley said that it might be even more of a problem if they do it in Las Vegas.
I would be broke. I mean, because listen, anybody thinking that any person going to go to Vegas and not gamble, first of all, there's going to be a lot of players broke too because they'd have to stay in the hotel the whole time. No, I'm not going to Vegas. They can put me in Florida. Hey, Disney World is around a bunch of badass kids. I can deal with that. But I am not going to Vegas for 2 months. That can't happen with my gambling degenerate self.
That would kill him. I mean, at least he's being honest about it. Imagine having to station Charles Barkley for 2 months. Because his gambling stories are obviously legendary. I mean, it might not touch Michael Jordan status, but it's close. It's pretty damn close. When you think of, famous athlete gamblers, and we got the Bankroll Boys coming up, so they can attest to this. Barkley's like it's like Mickelson, Barkley, Jordan, and I don't know who else is on the Mount Rushmore of these athlete gamblers, but he's one of them. Like, he's a top fiver, I believe.
Yeah, he is not afraid to have a vice, as we've seen him chug a bottle of Patron, which is very, very, very difficult to do. But we have seen him do that, and then you got to respect him, man. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines when we come back to Bankroll Boys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.